Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
How to be spiritual. We spent 7 weeks really looking at spirituality in lots of different ways and lots of different forms, and we didn't even scratch the surface, actually. And the reason that I put this together, this kind of a study circle together, is because apparently, for some reason, a lot of us have lost touch with the real foundation for what being a spiritual person is, and how to walk a spiritual life, and how to utilize the spiritual gifts and tools that have been given to us and that are a part of us and that we all have access to if we but look in the right places and the right directions. There are a lot of different philosophies out there. There are a lot of different ways and illustrations of living your lives. There are certainly enough people out there to tell you how to live your life to keep you going for a gazillion lifetimes. And we did do some work on the universal laws that are constantly and always in place. They are universal to us. They are universal to the planet and to every living thing on the planet and every person. They are basically the universal laws, and they are accepted or alluded to by every major religion out there, so that nobody argues any of them. I don't think there was ever a council where they all said, let's get together and let's make up laws that you know, everyone will be guided by. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly how the universal laws came into being, but I do know they are referenced by every major religion. They are alluded to. Every major religion does accept them, and so it's a part of our reality. It's more than looking at commandments that God has theoretically given us. It is, these are the laws that govern us. These are the laws by which if we live by them, life can be pretty abundant and pretty cool. And if we don't, then we can walk through the muck and the gluck as long as we like. We've talked about law of attraction, and we've talked about cause and effect. We've talked about a lot of different laws. The one law that I neglected, which is the most important one, which is the law of laws, if you want to, is the law of one. And basically, it says it all. And if you just remember this one, you're really fine. And it's every living soul, living and disincarnate, is connected at the level of the collective unconsciousness, deep within the higher self. We're all part of a great energy gestalt called God. We call it God. Other people, other races, other species will probably call it something different, but we call it God. And because we are a part of that one, everything that we do affects everyone else. And if we are living in harmony with each other, with the planet, then everybody is at peace, and there is love all around. It sounds like it's a world that is almost like Oz, but not quite. And it's the original law of creation. You and I, and every other person on this planet, every other thing on this planet, every living aspect, molecule, organism on this planet is part of a great one. And so long as we try to understand that we are it's more than a family, because we are connected scientifically, genetically. We are part of this planet. We are part of this world. We are part of one another. And when we start to say, "I'm better than you," or "I can achieve more than you or another," then we're straining at that oneness that we're searching for. Now, it's not a new concept. It's been out there forever and ever and ever. Jesus spoke of it. Krishna spoke of it. White buffalo calf woman spoke of it. You can go through almost all the material that is out there. Ultimately, it does come down to the fact that we are all one. And in many ways, we're kind of like the Borg. It takes all of us to make an organization. Now, we aren't mindless. We are connected on an unconscious level. But because of that, sometimes we forget. And when we forget, then we start to think that we are more than someone else, or to rise above others. And that's when the trouble starts. That's when everything gets out of hand. And that's when we get into a place where there is disharmony in the planet and within us. And if you want to even just look at your own family, just your own personal family, knowing that you are one with all of them, that they are a part of you and you are a part of them, when you hurt one of them, when you ignore one of them, when you mistreat one of them, it hurts everything. It's like the organisms, it's like our bodies. If we are scratched in one place, the totality of our body reacts to that injury and tries to heal it and tries to help it. So that it's really, really important for us to realize that when we are disharmonious to another person, that's us. We're doing something to another person, but that's us too. And no matter what any book or religion tells you, it all does come down to the fact that we are all one. And I found this on the internet. Says the law of one is simple to define. All is one. Some people seem to have a deep feeling that this is true. However, most of us find that oneness is not very apparent. When we bring our awareness to a point of focus, everything seems to separate. This sense of separativeness is the grand illusion, an illusion that has plagued mankind since his beginning. All the laws of physics and the laws of God are subsets of the law of one. Scientists refer to the unified field, and theologians refer to the oneness. There are two paths to gaining understanding of oneness, the scientific path and the religious one, or spiritual. Both of these paths lead to the same conclusion, which is we are all one. Oneness is not just a sweet religious concept. It is a pure physical reality. If you don't physically understand this fundamental principle, you should study quantum physics or practice deep meditation. Either path may lead you to enlightenment, but doing both may get you there sooner. What is the one? The one is sometimes referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the middle, and the end, the past, present, and the future, all that is, ever was, ever will be, the Tao, the sum of all intelligences, and the unified field. Lots and lots of different ways of looking at this. It comes down to the fact that we are at a place in time where we all have become separate. We all find different ways of looking at things. And the reality is we're actually all doing the same thing. It's just that on a personal level, we're negating out the fact that we are one with nature, we are one with our boss, we are one with the students we teach. And it's a little upsetting and confusing that as we have become more and more and more technologically aware, we have become less and less and less spiritually aware. And technicality, the organizations of religions have really skewed the original teachings that came down through time, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Buddha, the teachings, all of the teachings of all of the different races and all of the different nationalities, the Indians and the Native American Indians and the Indians from India. There have been teachers all through time that have been trying to bring this message of oneness to us. And we seem to, on an individual basis, and I'm not pointing fingers here because I'm very much guilty of a lot of this as much as everyone else is. But let's take the Bible, for instance. The Bible originally came from, people call the Bible inspired writings. And that would mean that there are a lot of inspired writings around the country at this point in time too, not just biblical ones, but for the moment, let's look at the Bible, because the Bible originally came from oral teachings, and the Bible originally was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and it was put together, and that now the Old Testament goes back to 1500 years BC, and it was written in Old Hebrew, which only had 22 characters. The New Testament was written in what is called Common Greek. And so when all of that was put together and Constantine decided that he wanted a Bible, it was then all of it translated from all of these different languages into Latin. And then many, many centuries later, King James thought it should be translated into Latin. And so he had it translated into High Latin, which was the Latin for just the nobility. And that's what we have today, translated from High Latin into English for us, and God knows what other languages all around the world. But if you're looking at can the meaning be lost in the teachings? Here's a great example of it. The original teachings of Jesus were of love, of sharing, of being a family. And when you go into, you truly do not get that message. You get different messages. You get messages about corporations. You get messages about we're special and the other guys aren't, about good and evil, about all sorts of things, but not, you don't get the message of the love. And I'm not attacking Christianity exclusively. I'm attacking all of them, because to be honest with you, the original teachings that have come through time that talk of love are your original languages, are the Native American languages, are the languages that come from Krishna, are the Talmud. Originally, we had the right message. Originally, the right message was that we're all a family, and that we should work together, and we are a part of God. I have it right in the very first thing that I sent you. Every soul, living and disincarnate, is connected at the level of the collective unconsciousness. Deep within the higher self, we are a part of a great energy gestalt called God, and because we are a part of God, we are God. So that we don't need to have someone intervene for us. We can talk ourselves to our Creator. Whether I prefer Infinite Spirit, some people prefer God, some people, Divine Creator. Let's just agree that there is out there a consciousness much greater than all of us, and we are a part of that consciousness. And we did talk last time about the fact that we have a consciousness that is tuned into just our reality, and I call that our lower consciousness, and that's our memories of this lifetime only. And then we have our higher consciousness, which is a part of the collective unconsciousness of the world. It's cosmic consciousness. We have a connection to that aspect way, way out there, above and beyond what we are now, you know, how we perceive ourselves. We look in the mirror and we see a vehicle that is carrying a spirit. But that's not us. Us is the combination of what is in that spiritual body, but it's the higher consciousness that is also connected to it that is us. And, you know, even if we go back to Albert Schweitzer and Chief Seattle and all and the Buddha, he who experiences the unity of life sees his own self in all things and all beings in his own self. We've been taught through time by masters. And even Albert Einstein said, a human being is a part of the whole universe called by us the universe. Limited in time and space, he experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. The delusion is a prison restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons close to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from our prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all humanity and the whole of nature in its beauty. So the reality is, there is just so much that we need to sort of shake ourselves up and become a lot more perceptive as to the fact that hatred, anger, greed, avarice, all of those things separate us from ourselves. If you understand and really embrace the fact that we are a part of all of creation, and so when people kill other people, when people behead all of people, that's a part of us really behaving badly, and so it's a part. So it hurts us. It hurts our evolution, and we need to be focusing on coming to a time where we don't let stupidity get in our way, where you know, you can't cram understanding or consciousness down someone else's throat. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't work. So we have to, through our own actions, be living examples of a concept that we all have internally. We're pre-programmed with it. It's probably the only thing we're pre-programmed with, you know, to this level anyhow. And it's to love one another. Babies love one another. Babies don't hate. They have to be taught hate. They have to be taught cruelness, so that what we've got here is it's time that we start looking and understanding this rule of one, the law of one. It's real simple. We're all a part of the same entity, and we're all a part of the same group. And not everybody's consciousness is at that same place. And so, what do you do when people? When people don't agree with you, when they don't have the same principles and things like that, there certainly is free will. And if people choose to go in other directions, that's their right. And they do. But the more people understand the law of one, the more we work with that law and spread it around as liberally as we can, the more other people will come to find it too. Now, they talk about transcendental meditation, and I'm all for meditation. I do believe that meditation is a part of finding that part within ourselves, but it doesn't have to be transcendental meditation. Any form of meditation works, and everyone has a right to find their way of actually coming to that place within themselves where higher consciousness is set free and allowed to flow through them. It's something that you do by choice, not because you have to. It's something you probably trip upon rather than actually seek. I know that everybody who's signed up for this circle, this series of talks, is seeking in one way or another some of the answers that they have been looking for. And this is going to sound so trite, but the answers are within us all. They're within you. It's not something that I can say that will unlock that door. It's something that you will suddenly, it will suddenly occur to you, and that door is opened. And it's not something that you have to bang your head against. It's something you have to work at opening. It's sort of like you can stare at a pencil, and if you stare at it long enough, you actually can move it across the table. But you have to be, you have to have the element of patience and perseverance has to be here as well. When we listen to other people telling us how to find our own divinity, we are giving up our own power. So I am basically trying to over the last 7 or 8 weeks and over the next 7 or 8 weeks, trying to focus you on finding within yourself that aspect of your own higher consciousness that's going to say, welcome home, we need to talk. And basically it's that kind of a communication. It isn't sitting and praying to an external entity that is going to do that for you. It is, and you don't have to pray for yourself unless you really feel you need to, and then go ahead. But you'll hear laughter eventually. It's seeking that inner wisdom that we all carry. It's seeking that that essence of the infinite spirit, the creator that is within us, and bringing it more and more into our physical reality. I promise you, the more you bring it into your physical reality, the more you apply it to the stupidity and everyday situations that we run up against. And you know, I could sit and bore the hell out of you for a long time telling you about the times and the ways that I have, you know, just said to the universe, you know, I think I'm a little confused here. You know, take it over for a while. Show me what's the right way to do this. And it actually does. But it does so in subtle ways. You don't get a telegram or, you know, a registered letter from the creator saying, hey, dummy, this is how you do it. But by looking inside of yourself, I mean, the law of one is a law of inclusion. It's about the true equality of all humanity, irrespective of skin color, social class, landmass, or origin, or spiritual beliefs. What dwells within the physical form is sacred and so must be honored. What dwells within the human form is that which we must learn to honor in each other, and we must learn to allow each other to be free. The law of one's about freedom, and it's about the freedom to let the inner light within each of us shine through, to bring forth into the physical world our own unique expression of self, while allowing others to do the same. And it's not, you know, we're not supposed to be Stepford Wivish. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to all be different and unique. And the more unique and wild and weird you are, the better, the more excited you are about celebrating your own spiritual self. We have been taught to conform within this society to a great extent. We have to conform with jobs. We have to conform with religious observances. We have to conform politically. We have to, and conforming chokes us, it doesn't kill us, but it absolutely stifles that creative spirit that we carry within us. We're here to share love, to not hurt each other, to be joyful. I know it sounds la 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 la. Okay, where does it come from, Barbara? What philosophy is it, or what history does it come from? The law of one. The law of one is universal. It comes from the very gut foundation of every religious organization, every teacher out there. If you take the teachings of those who we call masters who have been on this earth plane, and you know, I mentioned Jesus, I mentioned Krishna, I mentioned White Buffalo Calf Woman, I could go on and on. There are teachers here on the earth plane have been, and they come from all different cultures, from all different religions, and they their basic teaching philosophy is love, that we are all one. And it isn't just Christianity. It's every religion. And there has been a teacher in on this earth plane over and over and over again who has left a message of love. We are one. We are part of a whole. And we, as we have evolved, as culture has expanded, there have been organizations that have decided to take over that one law and use it to build a corporate structure. And every religion out there has done it. The law of one states that, did one, I don't know who coined the name, the law of one can be found all over the place. And I think that one of the things that we need to do in later weeks is to go into a lot of the, you know, we have our major religions out there. We have Christianity and Judaism, and we have Buddhism and Islam and Taoism, and we have paganism, and we have, but what I think that will be kind of interesting, and I'm going to look into it as soon as we get off the air, there are a lot of teachers on the planet now that are speaking that same law. Have any of you, you know, raise your hand, and I don't know, give me, put in the little smiley face with the flower. Have you heard of the teachings of Kala? Is it Ka? I put some of it in here just to play with you a little bit. Ra. Have any of you heard about the teachings of Ra? R-A? It was in the back part of the material I sent. Okay, Deb has. I think, yeah, Noop. Okay. Teachings of Ra are very big. They're out there. They're heavy duty. They're channeled, ergo, inspirational teachings. And they are, I think they are this generation's, it's not a new age thing, but it's this generation, because people are now accepting channeling to a far greater degree than they ever did before. I honestly do believe that the Bible was quote unquote channeled, inspirational teachings, but with a, certainly with a purpose and a degree of leaning toward, it was edited well, I guess is the best way I want to put it, well or not so well. So the teachings of Ra speak of the law of one, that we came from one, and that we are love. If you look into the Urantia books, and if you can dig your way through them, you'll find the same thing, that the law of one is there. That again is channeled material. The Emerald Tablets, Dr. Doral's interpretation from 100 years ago, goes into the same thing. It's we all come from the same, we have the same origin. The same creator created all of us. If you go into, let me see, if you go into any of the Native American stories about the creation, about creation, you'll find that the law of one is there. And So there is, it's all over the place. It talks about the foundational one law. You come from the same source. And by coming from the same source, you have an obligation to make sure that you are kind to everyone else. Now, I have to admit, frankly, I don't love everybody. I should, but you know, I don't look at everyone the same way. I should, but I don't. And I think this is something that we have taught, that culture has taught us. And I don't know. I don't know where it came from, but I do believe that on this journey, we have to unlearn some things that have been crammed into our heads, carved, and told us that they were carved in stones. Every person on this planet is either your sister or your brother. They came from the same source. They were created by the same person. Your parents were birthed by the same person. We are a family. And not only that, it has to do with the animals as well, and the plants, and the plant. It's every living thing. And I know, you know, some take this to such an extreme. Some won't step on a bug. Frankly, if an ant is in my kitchen, its life is in its hands, and I will step on it. But there are those that practice the sanctity and the nobility and the religious aspect of every living thing, and they literally don't. They don't take life. They eat vegetables and stuff like that, but they only eat the fruit. They don't kill the plant. I think that's wonderful. I'm just not there. But it's we sort of have enveloped ourselves in cocoons that forget our connection. We have our own little family of friends or whatever, and everybody else is, you know, evil. Unfortunately, some of the religious organizations teach that, you know, unless you follow their dogma, you're going to go to hell. There is no hell, everybody. We go to a beautiful dimension. I've seen it. Everybody goes. The mean, you know, those that we didn't feel deserve it, but their spirit, the soul inside of them, was perfect and beautiful. Their personality was not, but their soul and their spirit has gone to the other side. They go to the same place that all the saints do, and maybe they play poker on Saturday nights too. I don't know, but I would think so, because they are the same. Their spirits are the same. They were created by the same. And we come down to this planet, and we take on personalities, and we take on directions, and you know, we do what our parents have taught us and what our teachers have taught us. And right now I'm saying, you know, firmly believe, we have to back off. We have to understand that perhaps we have been programmed and conditioned, and perhaps we need to re-examine our belief systems. Many of us come from a Judeo-Christian background. And, you know, Jesus taught beautiful philosophies. He taught such beautiful philosophies that we killed him. His message was love. Love one another as you love me, or as I love you. Love one another as I love you. Yes, beautiful message. And yet, a religion and then branches of that religion have sprung up from it, and they basically are saying you do this, 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 and this, or you go to hell. That's not true. If love created us, and if we live in love, we go to love. And if we haven't lived in love, we still go to love, because that love is unconditional. And that doesn't mean that you should, you know, say screw this and I'll take everybody for everything I can get this lifetime, and then I get to go to the happy hunting grounds. Well, no, you don't, because when you cross over, you do find that you are able to feel and experience the pain that you have suffered, that you have caused to others. No, you find you are in a place of total love, and you look back and you see what you've done, and there's a horrible. You feel terrible because you have that total compassion yet again. So, you're punished, but you do it to yourself. Nobody does anything to you. You do it to yourself, and so that it's a matter of you practice what you believe, and you need to search inside of yourself to find these laws, not only the law of one, but the law of reflection, the law of compassion, the law of cause and effect, the law of attraction. You got them all last time, and I do think we're going to go back and look at them again, but they're on my website. You can run them off and study them a little bit. You have to understand that at this point in time, All of us, me included, and Deb included, and Jeannie, you have to understand that we have been programmed by religious organizations that are out for profit, and they're not out to teach you the truth. they're out to teach you a story of truth and a story of love, but only if you adhere to their formats. And you know, that's not right. Everybody has love inside of them. Everybody shares it in a different way, shape, and form. We have to honor the spirit that is within each person. We may not like their personality, because let's face it, there are people out there that have work to do. And that's judgment on my part, and I claim it all over the place. But you start by honoring their spirit, and hopefully their personality mellows in time. You don't have to take them in and you know, sit them at your table and say, I love you to them, because that would be icky. But you give them the room to grow, and you give them the room to change their ways. You don't try to change them, because honest to God, you can give somebody the philosophy, but unless they are making it a part of their own self, there's no way that there's going to be change. Change happens when somebody has a light bulb goes on inside of their head, and they see that there's a different way of doing things. And once there's a different way of doing things, then you can change your reality. And we talked about this. We are in total control of our realities. We just don't know it. If the people you're drawing to yourself are not the kind that you would like to be connected to, then you don't look around for another group. You change yourself, because you are attracting people to you that are resonating to your energy. So that being said, if that's happening and you don't like what you're surrounding yourself with, your obligation is to go inside yourself and figure out what it is that's attracting them, turn it off, and turn on something else that is more loving and kinder and more compassionate. If you change yourself, everyone around you is compelled to change the way they treat you. And it doesn't happen overnight. It would be nice if it did, but it doesn't happen overnight. So that if your situation, if your life situation is not the way you want it or you feel it should be, you change yourself. And like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. But feeling sorry for yourself just reinforces where you are. So it's very important that you understand that you are a very unique, unbelievably beautiful person, and that you deserve the very best. And if you are not getting the very best, then you have to look inside yourself and see, you know, where am I sabotaging myself? Because it's you that's sabotaging yourself, not somebody else. It's you. Either you've given your power away, either you're afraid to take control of your own life, any number of a gazillion different things, but you're in total control. And no matter how bad things are, and I know I've been through bad times myself more times than I care to remember, but every time I went through one of those bad times, I would at some point say, okay, I know there's a good message here. I have to find the message. Please help me find the message, because I don't like where I am. And you know, it did eventually come when I started to listen. Sometimes you get so scared when you're in conditions and places that you kind of let go of that, and you just react to the situation that you're in. You don't understand that there's a lesson going on here, and let's figure out what that lesson is so we can get the hell out of here. And it's that simple. But you are in total control. When people constantly seek advice from other people, they're giving their power away. Seeking it, look at this. I'm putting myself out of business here. If everybody listens and pays attention, by asking other people for advice, you're giving away your own power. You have a totally, fully functional, aware spirit inside of you. Use it. It's better than Google. It's got all the answers for you personally, and it will help you to walk through any situation that you have, you know, that you've gotten yourself into. But you start by understanding that you do have that perfection inside of you. You do have a spirit inside of you that is on a human experience, traveling through this lifetime. And if something is not comfortable for you, it's appropriate to kind of just say to yourself, this doesn't feel right. You know, where have I gone wrong? What have I stepped in? And sometimes you've stepped in good stuff because, my goodness, you know, you weren't paying attention. I think that's blasphemy. Sorry, Chris. and all of this actually is material. It's, you know, you got inside you an encyclopedia that covers, that starts from before the beginning of time. And so all we need to do is find a way to get to that aspect inside of ourself that carries all of this wonderful cosmic wisdom, because it's there. So what we need to do is to sort of create that bridge between the consciousness, which is the ego. And I think the picture that I put on the stuff, we are all one, only ego, beliefs, and fears separate us. Boy, that's true. It's true. We've been told that we need to have intermediaries to get to God, the Creator. We don't. We carry a part of God inside of us. We don't need to even, you know, email him, them, whatever. And so what we've got here is a need to find the passageway, the bridge, the tunnel, however you want to perceive it. And meditation, much as I hate to say it, is really the key. But that said, everybody meditates differently. There is not one true way to meditate. There is not one absolute perfect way to the Creator. As many as there are of us, that's how many different ways there are to meditate. Some meditate gardening, some meditate knitting, some meditate taking a car apart and putting it back together. Some sit and meditate and just listen. Frankly, when I do that, I usually hear a cat crying or I make a list of some sort. I don't have that kind of focus. But everyone can find their own kind of meditation. And sometimes it comes when we're asleep. Sometimes it comes when we're daydreaming. And it will always, always, always come in symbolic form. The messages from spirit are not going to come in biblical language. They're going to come in symbols so that we can interpret them and use that wisdom for ourselves. Our higher consciousness is there, absolutely, and it's there to gather information from our experiences and the lessons that we are a part of. Were put in place by that spirit. It asked for experiences so it could develop certain aspects down here on the earth plane. And as we travel this life pathway, we are confronted by those lessons, those challenges, and how we work them out and how well we communicate with our higher consciousness determines how life is. It's really that easy. And again, if you look to other people for the answers, all they can actually give you is the answers that they've found in their lifetime, which absolutely apply to them, but don't apply to you. I can tell all you guys, I can give you, you know, I can, you know, born in a log cabin type thing. I was born in a hospital. But I can tell you how I got to this point in time, and you could follow step by step by step by step everything that I experienced, and you would not be where I am now. You'd be where it wouldn't be the same. Is what I'm trying to say. Our pathways have to be different. To follow anything and feel that by following somebody else's dogma or steps to enlightenment is going to enlighten you is frankly foolish. Your steps to enlightenment are your steps to enlightenment. Mine are mine. And everybody's are different. So I would suggest, you know, homework for everybody. Sit and play with some different forms of meditation. We're going to do a whole day on meditation, so that I'm going to fling out a ton of different forms of meditations for you. So many people say they can't meditate. That's not true. They just haven't found the way to meditate yet. And it's really it's important. I meditate, you know, different ways in different seasons, actually. So it's a simple form of, and I know that there are some of you out there that are really able to zone out and really do your own thing. Led meditations are led meditations. You are following another's voice. You are following another's direction. And while it may relax you and you may actually see things, it's not what I'm talking about. You have to find your own personal one, the one that works for you. And sometimes I find just laying on the floor, closing my eyes, and listening to my own heartbeat takes me there. Or staring into a fire. I mean, there's so many different ways to meditate. But what meditation is the real secret to it is you're turning your consciousness off and allowing your higher consciousness to speak to you. So in order to turn your consciousness off, you have to have an empty head. And for some of us, emptying our head is extraordinarily difficult because it just keeps filling up with other stuff. But sooner or later, everybody's going to come upon a form. There are amazing, Tai Chi is an amazing form of meditation. Yoga is a form of meditation. And it's binaural beats. Chris uses those, and she actually loves them. There are, like I said, there are tons and tons and tons of forms of meditation. And basically, it's plugging you into yourself so that you understand that you are awesome. You are a totally awesome, fully functional, fully developed master spirit, and you don't need anybody else to tell you how to be spiritual, because that spirit within you is about as spiritual as it gets. And the law of one is one of the ways that you know, we can express that. We can treat each other with respect. We can treat each other with love. You don't have to go overboard with this, but to hate another person or to be angry at another person is to be angry and hate a part or a part of yourself. And quite often when people get into situations like that, it's the law of reflection is very, 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 very much at play within that kind of a situation. You're seeing a part of yourself and you don't like it. And you know, if you can step back and say, I recognize that in somebody else, it's got to be in me. I better work on myself a little bit. And you know, try not to go overboard, because then, of course, karma comes in. But the law of one has also been compared to, you know, dharma. We talked about karma and dharma last time a little bit, too. And dharma is our actions, what we do. And it's more than our words. Our words can be very, very empty, but how you act is really a good reflection of what you have inside. And you want to make sure that you are constantly following that law of one. And again, I've tried a lot of different religious organizations. I have found that I always see that there is manipulation involved, and it's just me. So I prefer to call myself a universalist, and I believe that every religion has some really good stuff in it. It's just that when they try to, they've all become, most of them, corporate structures. And because they're corporate structures, they are manipulative. And because they're manipulative, I don't like them. But the concepts that they share, and even Muslim, that religion is one of love. I mean, it's been absolutely, you know, twisted out of proportion and out of whatever. But all of the religions say they're formed of love, and it's just that I get very upset when I see that there's what's the word I'm looking for? They've got there's a method to their madness. They're out for something, and religions are nothing if they don't have followers. As soon as people understand and realize and embrace the fact that we are all one, that we are the expression of a grand religion as a living, breathing person, then we don't have a need for an organized religion, because we are living our own religion. We are living examples of our own religion. And so what, you know, I guess in a way I am promoting the overthrow of religions, aren't I? Well, not really, but sort of. I mean, if you like getting together with a group of people singing hymns and listening to people talk about the Bible, that's great. And I'm all for it. But the concept of being spiritual transcends a religion. You can be any religion you want to be or none at all, but you can still be spiritual, because you can have love for everyone and everything. The Indians used to pray over the animals that they had killed, because, you know, they thanked them for the fact that they were going to feed their family. We don't do that over our food. We say grace, but I don't think we mean it. We're coming to a time where the law of one is more and more and more going to be more needful within our society. With all of the anger, with all of the violence, with all of the cruelty that is out there, the law of one, you know, it's not as obvious, it's not as apparent, and it's not utilized as much as it should be. Now, I have to admit, I slip all over the place. I judge. I tease. Nobody is perfect. We should be, but we're not. We're down here because we're not, and our personalities are certainly not perfect. But the reality is that the more aware we are of when we step over that line, then maybe we can mellow it a little bit the next time. We're here to make mistakes, and my God, I certainly have made my share of them. And so, I love this. Chris is giving meditation lessons in the chat room. So the reality here is, beware that we are one. When you go to the grocery store, I mean, look at everybody and smile. That doesn't hurt. That's basically trying to link to their energetic field. People who say, well, I don't have a lot of friends. Well, you don't have a lot of friends because you're not being friendly. And it's not just in one situation. It's in all situations. I mean, if you really want to have a big group of people, then you are kind, outgoing, and friendly. And no matter how shy you are, that attracts people to you, and you do grow that circle of friends and friendship. When Deb and I thought about doing this and putting this together, we had no idea that people would be interested in any of this material. Me especially, I got to admit, I'm more blown away by it than she is. But we have an obligation, those of us that are on a spiritual journey. It's really important that we start to recognize our power. It is power. It's an amazing power. And I mean, look at the power of love can do just about anything. The power of love can heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the poor, shelter the homeless, and put an end to poverty. It can save the environment, save endangered species, put an end to war. Our social, economic, and religious structures pit us against each other in so many ways that we need to realize that we are not contestants. We're not in competition with each other. That's an illusion. The truth is that we are all related, and love is the power that can bring us together in peace and in harmony with each other and all of creation. The one law can set us free. You don't need a religion. Just pay attention to the one law. I mean, there are other laws, and we're certainly going to go into them. But are there any questions out there in the chat room? I tend to babble on, and just hopefully I'm hitting all of the questions that some of you may come up with. When first I started looking into the Law of One, I was very surprised that the raw material was there, and the raw material is quite amazing. it's channeled material, and he speaks as he would, I guess, if he were Egyptian, and Ra, of course, was Egyptian. So he does consider, how did I put it here? He believes that the law of one is the ultimate truth that your heart and your soul acknowledges deep within. And by following and living the true principles of the law of one, you will find what you have been searching for. You will attain peace and harmony within yourself and with the world around you. Share with each other the infinite diversity and variety of mankind. These differences in expression and culture are there not to divide people, but to enhance their experience and to broaden their conception of the all that is. There is a coming of time when one will stand before the another and celebrate both the uniqueness of each and the oneness of the two. The law of one is the ultimate truth that can set free all of humanity. It can raise the collective consciousness of mankind and therefore enable to break free from the cycles of history. It's true. So I want you to understand that the law of one is something that maybe we should all have tattooed someplace on us. Because if you're looking at any situation you're in and you're understanding that you're all a part of another, that what you do to one hurts everybody else. It's not just the other person. It hurts everybody else. When a body has an infection, all of the white cells in the body go to that one place of hurt. The law of one is the same. Have you noticed that when great catastrophe hits, everybody blends together? Look at what happened with 9/11. People opened their homes to people who didn't have homes. People went down there and helped to dig for survivors. People went down there and they worked for tirelessly, constantly, to help those that were helping fight the fires and everything. Restaurants opened themselves up and fed everyone, forget the food, forget the price. They just fed everyone. That was a time of disaster. That was a time when we were infected. And everyone worked together. We were one unit. We were one organism. We all hurt. And we all did everything we could to help to heal that hurt. Then politics got in the way and a war ensued. But look at Katrina. Look at Sandy. Yeah, thank you, Deb. In those times of disaster, when there is great strife, everybody works together. 9/11 happened and people sat and cried all over the world. They hurt for each other. They knew something was going on. In times of war, there is hurt and sadness all over the world. There is now. And it's because we are hurting ourselves. And just because it is two cultures that we aren't a part of, and the beheadings and everything aren't going on in my backyard, I hurt. I hurt too, and so do all of you. We feel it when something wrong is going on, but the way to fix it is not to go out there and hurt more people. And yes, I am a member of the Flower Child generation. Guilty. But if everyone realized that they were hurting themselves when they did this, but understand what's going on here. Large organizations, corporate organizations, governments are reaching for power and control, and so therefore they are warring against one another for power and control. That's not the law of one. I don't know what that's the law of, but it's not the law of one. And it's not something that you want to be a part of. You know, it used to be that they would, when there was big conflict, each side would pick the biggest, strongest guy, and they'd battle it out, and then whoever won, won. And then everybody went on and you know, were peaceful, or they got taken over or whatever. But there wasn't mass destruction going on. And I do believe that our culture, our species, is at a point where we have to make up our minds. You know, do we want to use strength? Do we want to impose our way of life on someone else, or can we honor the spirit within them and step back and allow their culture, their teachings to prevail? When the Spaniards came to this country and hit South America, they brought priests with them so that they could educate the barbarians that were here, who, by the way, had a religious order and philosophy already in place that in many ways was better than what the Spaniards were trying to teach them. And I know that history talks about a lot of bloodletting, but that wasn't really what happened in history. That's what is written, and I think we have to be very careful what we believe today as far as what the history books are saying, because the more I research, the more I learn, the more I find that the history goes to those that conquered, and they write it in their terms, in their language, and quite often they tell a story that is not true or appropriate. And these days, a lot of history is becoming less and less reliable. And the more we look into it, and the more we dig into, the more we Google, the more we find that many things that we thought were truth were not. And the one thing that I've been talking about a lot lately is the fact that giants actually were very prevalent on North America and in North America, and that would include Canada, before the Native American Indians came in. So, and no history book is going to tell you that. So we have to ask questions, and we have to touch into our own inner spirit. Now, I don't want to overthrow a government. Well, actually, I can't. But you know, if somebody said, "Okay, Barbara, here you figure out it all," I'd go crazy. But I know when something doesn't work, when people are hurting, when people are hungry, when people are homeless. I know something doesn't work when there are cures for things that are being held back from the populace because Big Pharma is going to make more money. I know something is wrong when there are wars because things can be talked out. I know something is wrong when a government tries to impose their government on another culture. Very wrong. I do believe that we are all one. We have different cultures, and we have different ways of living, and we have different dogmas that we follow and that we cover. But at the very bottom line, we are all one. And if we don't acknowledge that, if we don't embrace that, if we don't practice that, our species doesn't stand a snowball's chance in hell of surviving. This planet has been, according to scientists, wiped clean at least two, if not three times. And everything on it was destroyed, and life started over again. Now, I'm not sure what transpired, because we're talking millions and millions of years here. But if it's happened before, it could happen again. And if mankind doesn't start to understand that we are one, that we have to work together, that cosmically speaking, we can't evolve into whatever the next level is until all of us have understand that because we are a part of each other, we should not in any shape or form harm another person, because we're harming ourselves. We're holding ourselves back. We're holding our species back. We're holding our cultures back. We're holding our planet back. Today, our egos and our fears get in the way of so much of what could happen and could be. egos and beliefs and fears, they separate us. They separate all of us. And they prevent us from going into a grander, greater, more expansive realm. And the spiritual realm is there. And just because we're still living here doesn't mean that we can't tap into the spiritual realm and experience it and the wisdom that it carries, because we can. And we don't have to do it as a group, but we could. But it's something that's up to the individual. It's up to the individual to claim. Having a philosophy, reading tons and tons and tons of books on spirituality and the law of one and understanding all this, getting all of the philosophical stuff in your head, getting all of the wisdom there, doesn't make it a part of our lives. It's a philosophy. It's something we think. We have to be able to experience it. We have to be able to live it. You know, a philosophy is just a philosophy, and it's a thought. It's a maybe. If we live it, it becomes a reality. It's really hard to live total love constantly. And I'm talking for each other. I'm not talking, you know, love in relationship and stuff like that. That's a whole nother ball of wax. But learning to treat each other with respect and with love and honor. Namaste, I honor the spirit within you, means I honor the spirit within you. It means I love the spirit within you. So when someone says namaste, they're acknowledging that connection, that oneness that you share. But it's a term that's flipped around a lot now, namaste. People don't understand what it is. Lots of people say it. They don't know what it means. It's sort of like aloha, and it's like saying I love you to someone doesn't mean that much unless you actually are living it, walking it, talking it. And so I would love for all of you between now and next week when we're going to, I don't know what we're talking on. I have a whole bunch of stuff that I put together in our break. And we're going to work on that. But between now and tomorrow, think about this. Take a look at the people around you. Take a look at how you're functioning within your reality. Are you really with love expressing yourself to other individuals? You know, personalities aren't always going to flow beautifully together. There have been a number of people whose personality did not flow with mine. But at the very core of everything, do I understand that they're a part of me and that I should love them? I'm working on that. I like some. I don't love everyone, but I actually acknowledge that there is a spirit inside some of the people that have given me pain and I have suffered through. I try to like them. I try to see goodness in them. And when I can't find the goodness, I just have to trust that it's there and it's covered up real good and that someday it's going to come out. But, you know, holding a grudge, being angry, all of that is wasted time, wasted energy. It doesn't get you anywhere. When someone crosses you, when someone says something bad, a while back somebody attacked the chat room. And they put horrible stuff up. No words I didn't recognize, but you know, it disturbed what I was doing as far as readings and trying to share information with people. And I got very angry, and you know, part of me wanted to retaliate in some way. And then over time, actually longer than it should have, I realized that this poor person probably had a lot going on, probably was a sad person because this is how they found entertainment, and that I really feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for people that have to try to disturb other people's realities. I really felt for this person because it meant that there was an emptiness in them, that they hadn't found their own center, they hadn't found their link with the infinite, and so out of frustration, they caused other people disharmony because they really had none in themselves. So it was sort of like, okay, I kind of understand this, and you know, no, I don't want to get even. I mean, if initially I'd had the opportunity, I probably would have. But in retrospect, I feel so sorry for them that's how they have to fill their time instead of doing something of construction within their life, or learning about relating to other people. So that it's sort of like we have to really sort of re-educate ourselves, and we have to re-educate ourselves. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I'm putting all this out there to give you something to think about, because if I do nothing but make you question, then my job here is done. And I feel like we need to, spiritually speaking, start honoring that spirit within us, because, you know, some of us have given it quite a ride. Some of us have made this spirit struggle intensely. Some of us have challenged it to the point of, I think mine went out for lunch a couple of times and just shook its head and said, well, when she's done, you know, I'll come back and help clean up the pieces. But when we get too far away from that concept, when we give our power over to someone else or an organization, when we allow ourselves to be manipulated by either a religion or a job or a philosophy, then a screeching halt should be called, because we have so very, very much potential inside of ourselves. I mean, after all, every one of us carries a master teacher inside of us. And that master teacher is kind of sitting there taking it all in and learning from our mistakes, from our successes, and storing that knowledge. And stop and think a second. When we cross over, that master teacher goes to the other side and takes all this information and assimilates what it's learned. And so, in a way, we have an obligation to give as great a quality of material to that spirit as we can. Now, our consciousnesses, our egos, that's us talking now. That's us sitting here and talking. We are the gatherers. It's through our experiences, through what we put ourselves through, that's where that information comes from. So we really have an obligation to that part of us that's the higher consciousness, the master teacher, to give it the best we can, to tap into the wisdom of time that we carry within us, and to start to understand a lot of the processes that are going on here. I don't know where my life will take me. I don't think I want to know, but I don't know where the next step is going to be. But I do know that there is wisdom in whatever that next step is and whatever that next situation comes my way. I know there's a very positive meaning for it, that I'm on a learning curve here, and each and every one of you are on another type of learning curve as well. And so it's our obligation to not take everything lightly, to understand there's a purpose to it. When someone wrongs you, when someone steals from you, when someone lies to you, whatever it is, you have to step back and you have to say, well, okay, that hurt, but I wonder why they felt they had to do that, and is there an emptiness within them? Is there something I can do to help? And if there's not, then I need to just make sure that I don't open myself up to that possibility again, and hope that that person finds what they're looking for, so that they can find greater happiness and not have to do that to other people. We're not here to teach another person. We're here to share experiences, for sure. But we're not here to teach. We're here to experience. And this is a spiritual development circle. And certainly, if anybody has something they want to say, I welcome their addition. I don't know if anybody does want to say anything. I would welcome it. But, you know, last time we said, you know, if you put your little the little ninja guy up in the chat room and call in, that you know, we would open your telephone so that you could speak too. Last time we didn't have a lot of ninjas popping up, but that's okay. But yes, for example, Deb put hers up. I'm not here to lecture. I'm here to share, and I learn from you if you share something too, because you know we're all here to teach. And what we're doing is expressing our own experiences. And our own experiences, there's always something that we can gain from each other. And asking questions in the chat room is just fine as well, yes. Or calling in and asking a question. I don't have all the answers, but I have opinions on everything. So I won't stumble too much. Thank you, Deb. But we have an obligation to that spirit that we carry within. And maybe you should just start trying to reach out to that spirit within. Maybe and I always say journaling is a really super way to get in touch with that spirit within. And it does work. It takes a while to kind of get used to it, but it does work. That was one of the first ways that I was able to touch into that spirit. I talk to it a lot, but I don't do it reverently. It's a friend, and you don't make a religious experience about tapping into your higher consciousness, because it's not a religious experience. It's a spiritual one, and this is the personality that this spirit chose for this lifetime. So that there's in many ways, those with senses of humors, the spirit has a sense of humor. With those with no senses of humor, then the spirit doesn't have one or isn't going to use it. But we are definitely on a journey here, and the law of one, if you remember none of the others, and as you learned last time, there are over 40 of them. And for those of you who are new here, all of the material is up in my chat room, not my chat room, on my website under Special Projects, under Spiritual Development Circle. All the material from time is there, and each week I will put the current material up there. Apparently I sent out material in hieroglyphics this time, so you can always download it from the website. It'll go on the website right before I send it out to all of you. But do understand that's the fundamental law. That's the main one, and it's the most important one, and it's the one that appears in every single religion. And I don't believe there is a religion out there that was not based on love. And so long as it's based on love, then the law of one is there. And it's not that there's one God. It's that we are all one. There's a difference here. Let me explain this. Just because it's the law of the one doesn't mean that there's only one God. Because the source of us, the creator of us, most probably is a part of a lot of creators. And to say that there is just one is to limit the extent of what's out there that we have no knowledge of yet. Everybody would like to think there's one God, but, the Bible even begins, in the beginning, the gods, plural, made heaven and earth. And I do believe that there are more than one. I believe they're equal. I believe they've learned the law of one. I think that we are all a part of a whole, and that whole is a part of another whole, and that whole is a part of another whole, and so on and so on and so on. So that we are moving in a hierarchy, but we're at the very bottom of it. Maybe not the exact bottom, but we're at the bottom of it. And that man is not the most evolved species in all of creation, clearly. And that this planet is an amazing home for us to grow and develop and learn in. It's just that, at least for the time being, not a lot of people are too concerned with actually reaching out and understanding that wholeness incorporates every living piece of material on this planet. We're part of each other. We're part of humanity. We're part of creation. We're part of the trees and the stars and the birds and the bees and the animals, and maybe not the snakes, but the snakes too. But there's something magical about all this. If you look around you and see everything around you and understand it's all made up of molecules, and so are we. So we are a part of everything, and everything is a part of us. And if you treat it with love and respect and honor and dignity, the world is going to be a much better place. And let's face it, we all have been conditioned for so very, very long, programmed to think differently. It's kind of an amazingly huge thing to ask of people to suddenly shift and change the way they're looking at things. And again, I am not suggesting that anybody leave their religious background. I think religious backgrounds, they're foundational and they're important. And it feels to me as though that's my telephone beeping, and apparently I'm calling myself. There's a sense of needing to understand the oneness that is out there. And if you spend half an hour a day just looking around and understanding that you're a part of every human being out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that there's a part of them that's in a part of you, and there's a connection, and it's a spiritual connection. And at some point in time, I do believe humanity was able to be very telepathic. And at some point in time, I believe that we had access to all of the talents and the things that we're looking for. And at some point in time, mankind really was truly at one with itself. I don't know what happened, what changed. I do believe that technology came in here, and as technology came in, then power came in, and everything got a little bit corrupted. I do believe at the very core of every religion there is a sincere hope and love for all of humanity, but because they need to survive, they need to have money, and in order to have money, they need to manipulate. And when they manipulate, they absolutely they bastardize the foundations of what they were created for. So do look for the truth, and follow that truth, and then incorporate it into your life. Take half an hour every day. Try very hard to actually see and love a part of everybody that you talk to, and to smile and to share love. And you don't have to go overboard here. You just need to smile. The more you recognize that connection, the more you recognize that oneness that you share with every person that you touch and come in contact with, the greater, the richer your reality becomes. And because of that, you attract to yourself greater and richer situations and people, and it goes on. It's a domino effect. And just take half an hour every day, and don't make it the half hour before you go to bed. Make it a half hour when you're actually out there and mixing with other people, because that's it's cheating if it's when you go to bed. But do understand that the law of one is man, everybody should have it on their wall someplace to remind us that we are all one, and that the teachings of masters like Jesus, like Krishna, like the white buffalo, like the Buddha, those teachings are all pure. They are all beautiful, and I seriously think that if Jesus came down here and checked everything out, he'd be slightly horrified at what they'd done with his words, because he was a man of peace and love. And I don't think that at any point in time he felt he was creating a religion. He was just trying to show people how to treat each other. And it got way out of hand. So do kind of work on that. I'm gonna shut down now. It's 5:30, and I do thank you all for coming. And do work with this. And at some point, we are going to go into meditation, kinds of meditation, and see if we can find a form that may appeal to some of you. I'll put out there as many as I can find and try them all on. I guess next week is giving you a treatise on meditation. So that's where we're going next week. If anybody has questions, if anybody has something they want to, or anything, then contact me. It's BarbaraDeLong@gmail.com, or you can do it through my website. If you have questions, you want to pass something over or through me, feel free. I would be happy to help in any way I can. And I want to thank Deb for being here. She is a wonderful Tanto. And thank all of you for being here. And we will definitely pick this up next week, same time, same station. I will make the show public as soon as Blog Talk gets everything together. And check over the material. The Law of One is fantastic. And check into the raw material, too. It's a little wordy, but it does have some good philosophy. So until next week, I'll see you all then. Bye-bye now.